Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I consider very, very serious, ominous, as we view it, as to what's taking place with our sons and daughters and grandkids in the public school system. I was reading an article just before the news break, New Jersey to require second graders to learn about gender identity and climate change. Ladies and gentlemen, those are two subjects that I believe should be absolutely put on the list of not being allowed in a public school system. It's abuse, plain abuse, this article says. It further states that the public school guidelines and guidance in this New Jersey order advocate for school and community policies and programs that promote dignity and respect for all people and all genders, all sexes and all sexual expressions and all gender identities and all sexual orientation. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see anything in there about the schools advocating for anything that's called morals, ethics, and values, anything that's called academia, whatsoever? Our schools have become incubators for brainwashing and indoctrination in the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. This article goes on to say, the new standards teach children about abortion also. A description of what students learn should learn by the eighth grade describes pregnancy testing, the signs of pregnancy option, including parenting, abortion, and adoption. By the end of the second grade, the standards state that the children are expected to list medically accurate terms of all body parts, including the genitals. Children will also be taught about reproduction. Second grade teachers will also instruct children on how climate change can affect the health of individuals and plants and animals and how they ought to be concerned about saving Mother Earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a wokeness, if you please. I've never understood, quite frankly, what the word woke means, but we're supposedly in a woke culture. And that woke culture, supposedly the cancel culture, also says if you're not woke, you're going to get canceled. Looking at an article that says this, ladies and gentlemen, woke school board now under grand jury investigation. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that under the Biden administration, there's a push through the U.S. Department of Education to force this transgenderism on all of our children, sons and daughters and grandkids, without any parental knowledge, without any parental consent, without anything, but yet it's paid for and sponsored by the governmentally controlled schools, and that says in my mind that it's government-sponsored sin. It is government-sponsored immorality. It is government sponsoring that which is unethical, immoral, unholy, and ungodly. This article says, woke school board now under grand jury investigation. Perhaps you're familiar with some of the major calamitous fights in the school board meetings in Lowndes County in Virginia. This talks about that. Under catastrophic transgender policy, boy in skirt assaulted girl in bathroom is the subtitle of the article. Dated April the 14th, a school board in Landers County, Virginia, arguably the wokest board in the country that created a catastrophe with its transgender policy when a boy in a skirt assaulted a girl and then was transferred to another school where he committed another offense of like kind. Now reportedly is under investigation by grand jury. That is now the school board in Lowndes County, Virginia, is under a grand jury investigation. This article says the Washington Examiner confirmed the focus of the investigation into the school board members themselves and their handling of the sexual assault case last year. There, officials in the district hid the fact about the assault from the parents and the public. But now the school board is promising to cooperate with the lawful request from the grand jury, which can, in fact, subpoena testimony and put witnesses under oath. The development has come a year after the school board first was notified of a sexual assault by a male student presenting himself as a female of a female in a girls' restroom in Stonebridge High School in Auburn. The assault was hidden. In fact, officials, school officials, told the public there was no incident whatsoever that connected to the school district the new transgender policy of allowing students to define what sex they are. Officials simply moved the offender to another school where the second rape occurred in the bathroom, end quote. The article is about a three-page article. That's just three brief paragraphs out of the article, ladies and gentlemen. Whole point is, we're finding this is rampant across our nation, and it's something that, from a government standard, seems to be something they're looking at as normal and not something that is abnormal, and it's because they're trying to do the gender blending and the gender bending that says that there's no such thing as male and female. In fact, in the gender identity scheme that is permeating society today in our schools and being promulgated under the guise and the auspices of sex education in our schools, but it goes across every academic study and just about all of the textbooks, ladies and gentlemen, and it's designed by the LGBTQ sodomite agenda to recruit the boys and girls in our schools today. Here's an article that says, Congresswoman demands answers on trans insanity by the Biden's Health and Human Services Secretary. U.S. Representative Laura Boebert, Republican of Colorado, confronted Joe Biden's Health and Human Services Chief, Javier Becerra, with some questions that clearly were uncomfortable for him during a recent congressional hearing. The questions like this, like, what is a man and can a man get pregnant? And what about the body mutilating surgeries for children who are advised by counselors that they are transgender? Are tax dollars being used for the funds for the amputation of healthy human body parts? The Congresswoman asked. The Secretary of Health and Human Services refused to answer, according to this article. This is absolutely disgusting, the representative from Colorado goes further. This is not only repulsive, but it's child abuse. She continued, it's a sad day in America when the Secretary of Health and Human Services uses his position of influence to promote gruesome gender reassignment surgeries on our children. The Secretary of Health and Education Services' failure to protect children and parental rights as pathetic, and ask him about parents who don't want to mutilate their children, if they are at risk of having their child removed from their homes as a result of that. The Secretary of Health and Educational Services refused again to answer. He didn't answer any of Boebert's questions in relationship to the mutilation of the sons and daughters in the public school system and the brainwashing and the indoctrination of them about that which is unholy, ungodly, and ought not to be taking place in the public. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, government-sponsored sin. Government-sponsored sin. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question and comment, please.
I have a theory about some of these things. And My theory is that neutrality is a lie. Neutrality is a lie. You know, as we embarked on public education, we assumed some, either Christian influence or at a minimal neutrality. But that's not what we have. For decades, extreme far-left advocates have every single time a Christian stepped into the arena, consistently they say, you can't legislate morality. You can't legislate morality. Think about that for a second, folks. There's morality associated with virtually every piece of legislation on the face of the planet. You can't have a law dealing with red lights or stop signs until you confront the reality that running that red light or running that stop sign may kill someone. Killing someone is morally objectionable. Killing an innocent person is extremely morally objectionable. Therefore, there is a moral element even to red light and stop sign laws. However, we hand over power, we hand over authority to people as believers. We say, we want you to be our leader, we want for you to serve us, we want for you to preserve and protect our rights. And we assume that agencies sometimes are neutral when it comes to morality. They're not. They're not neutral when it comes to God. Again, I believe my theory stands that neutrality is a myth. Neutrality is not real. And particularly in, let me point to a single case, and I'll get to what I'm talking about. But 2007, the Parks Service adjusted the Washington Memorial. The Washington Monument Memorial, you have that 555-foot, 5 1/4-inch high monolith. And at the top of it, there's a 100-ounce pyramid of aluminum. And on the eastern face, it's adorned with the words, Laus Deo. Praise God in Latin. Praise God. For a very long time, that was the first thing that the sunshine touched in the southern hemisphere. How do you like that, folks? So the first thing that the sun touches for a long, long, long time, and by design, was adorned with the words, praise God. Now, in the receiving area for guests, they have a replica of that 100-ounce pyramid inside of a little display case. And in 2007, they adjusted that. Prior, you could see the words Laus Deo, and on the little display case, it had the reference to each side, what was written on it, what it meant, and the reference to Laus Deo was there, and praise God was there, so you could see it. Today, that's not the case. Words Laus Deo aren't referenced in that, and that little pyramid is spun around, and that's pushed up against the back of the wall inside the case, so you can't read. Now, maybe that's changed since 2007, but do you think for a moment that the Park Service was acting neutrally when they did that? You know, I presume that maybe there are some tours that you can still go up the stairs and see all the Bible verses that are inscribed on each of those blocks inside the Washington Monument. I've been recently told that the tours are just by elevator, so you don't get to see all that as you walk up. I don't know. But I think it's not a neutral position to hide those things from the general public. And we've seen in academia since the 60s, and you had certainly some huge cases, Engle versus Vital, Supreme Court case in 62, that said, oh, you can't pray in school, you know, because that prayer is a violation of the Establishment Clause. You fast forward, the next year you have Abington Township v. Shemp, where they said, no, you can't have the Bible reading in public schools, because that's a violation of the Establishment Clause. Hold on a second. The First Amendment gives the freedom of speech and freedom of religion. What in the world are they talking about? Mm-hmm. They take a twisted notion from a letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Convention and a wall of separation. They employ that kind of ideology from a letter, not from the Constitution sometimes. And they come up with this notion that we can be completely disconnected from our First Amendment rights within the classroom. Now, the left embraces the First Amendment when it enhances their ideology. They would tell you that, hey, we can have the gay parades, and we can invite the kids out. As a matter of fact, when we take a day off from school and do that, we can have the drag queen story time in the public libraries. All these things are embraced by the left, and they are in your face. They'll scream, you know, I've got freedom of speech, speech and freedom of expression. But it then not neutralizes, but removes on the other side. My theory again, that neutrality is a farce. It's not. It doesn't exist. Someone's morality will prevail. Whose morality will prevail in the culture today? This nation was founded on Christian principles. Have we completely abandoned them? Will this nation never turn again back to the Creator, back to the one to whom we owe all glory and honor and praise for the freedom that we enjoy today, for the ultimate freedom and glory? But the reality is we, in our revolution, we took on the most powerful nation on the face of the planet and went up against them pretty well with pitchforks. Guess what? It was a miracle that America was actually birthed. That miracle was not by the hand of man, but by the hand of God. And if we turn our back on God, where will we be a generation from today?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. Greg hails from the southern tip of heaven. That, for better definition, that's the northeast corner of the state of Tennessee. Greg, I'm thankful that you could join us today. Tell me just briefly, what kind of weather you're having up there today?
Not only is it beautiful, but there's something that I failed to tell people about the mountains of East Tennessee. If you pop up about 10,000 feet and look back down, you have all these wrinkles and twists and turns, all the knobs and hollers, as we call them here in East Tennessee. And they have a striking resemblance to fingerprints. And I'll tell you today, I believe they're the fingerprints of God right here in East Tennessee.
How about that? I'm thankful. Greg, let me change the subject briefly, but just as we're seeing that indoctrination and brainwashing in our governmentally controlled schools, we're finding that also in major, major entertainment centers. And I think about Disney in particular, where recently that's come out. Now I'm looking at an article that says Disney Video reveals company-wide campaign to help people transition. In this article, it says Disney is reportedly assisting all of its employees and their and the employees' children with sex change and gender affirmation procedures throughout the company's benefits program. The company's benefit team is reportedly offering resources and guidance to employees transitioning to the opposite sex, as well as all information needed for all of the employees, their children, and their children who are transitioning, according to a video shared by the Manhattan Institute senior fellow Christopher Rufo. And it goes on to talk about what they're doing with that. Greg, what is your position? What is your take on that? We see this happening now in our governmentally controlled schools, and it's happening at an alarming increasing rate of the brainwashing and the indoctrination. And it's being brought about by the LGBTQ sodomite agenda and Planned Parenthood agenda. And now we're finding that most, if not all, of the Hollywood agenda has been to do so. And now the entertainment centers that's supposed to be for families with the Mickey Mouse, and the program starts, it's ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and now supposedly there's no such thing as ladies and gentlemen or boys and girls. What is your thought? What is your take? What is your recommendation for families and Disney?
Well, for Disney, I would say, again, the scripture says that it's better for a millstone to be put around your neck and you cast into the sea than lead one of these little ones astray. It uses the word stumble in the scripture. I've seen a post this morning, a meme that pops up and has Mickey Mouse attached to a millstone and a shark cruising the waters because he's been cast into the sea. The demise of Mickey Mouse, the demise of Disney, to me resembles the demise of Boy Scouts of America. Boy Scouts of America was founded on principles, values that led a young man to be raised uprightly and to have good moral standing and good work ethic and right on down the list. Now, for a few decades, some homosexual pedophiles had infiltrated and had done heinous acts within the organization. And those were kept hidden. They would find out about it and let's just file it away, send this person down the road. They hid that. Now that was their criminal act. That was their bad act, based on historical review. But understand first, they had been infiltrated by homosexual pedophiles. I mean, I believe every single case that was the primary predator, was a homosexual pedophile. And the reason I say homosexual pedophile, a lot of folks say it's pedophile. You go, no. The pedophile that chose to prey upon someone of the same sex, that would make them a homosexual pedophile predator. As you move forward, they said, y'all have to be forced to accept homosexuals within your ranks of membership, and then in your ranks of leadership, and then we're not going to have any gender bias, therefore you've got to accept boys and men and women, boys and girls, but we can't call them that. So essentially, that which deteriorated, that which undermined, that which destroyed the organization was embraced. And it was completely counter to the original intent of the organization. Now, Disney is similar in that the primary intent of the organization, I mean, yes, it's a money-making organization, but it's providing, or has been, I think Walt Disney would have said, this is to provide, clean moral fun, clean moral entertainment for young people. And literally, it's been infiltrated. And literally, it's following the same path as the Boy Scouts of America. Sadly, for all those, especially Eagle Scouts out there that work through and they earn their way and attained a level of respectability by virtue of their good character put to work within an organization. Those individuals ought to be the most upset. By the way, my son-in-law is one of those, worked hard to become an Eagle Scout. There was a time in my life, I'd say, as I'm hiring someone, I'd take an Eagle Scout over a PhD if I had no other information. Today, that's not the case, because the organization has been so dismantled and destroyed because it was infiltrated, and the morality went out the window in favor of the political correctness, and that's what's taken place with Disney, and I believe their fate will be similar.
Absolutely. One of the things we see, Greg, and I think that our listeners understand that, is that we see this taking place now in every realm of the entertainment industry, Hollywood, et cetera. We see this taking place in every realm of the federal and state governments, and we see at the same time a shutting down of, and a dismissal of, and a rejection of anything that's moral, ethical, and spiritual. I'm looking at an article that says, freedom of religion under attack in Washington State. And it's because it's a mission organization that they were trying, a Christian mission organization, that they were trying to force them in the state of Washington, force them to hire homosexuals, the LGBTQ community, and not focus just on a Christian coming into the organization to work. Greg, hold on a moment. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I'm listening very intently to you and Greg, and there's a scripture, I can't quote it, but remember after Jesus had risen, there was an angel said, what are you looking for the living here among the dead? And it's sad because I hear you and Greg looking for the living. And if the average guy in America today would go take this Bible, blow the dust off of it, you don't have to read very many paragraphs before you realize this world's dead. It's gone. And it's sad, but aren't you glad that we won't vote who's going to run heaven? It'll be a dictatorship, and I'll be just more than happy of that. Yeah. But it's just sad that the morals are gone. And one thing I'd like to hear you and Greg touch on sometime is just what will it be like when the Holy Spirit has taken his hand off of America? What an evil absolutely is rampant. Just how bad will it be? Because the Christian or God's influence today is the only thing that keeps the wheels on. And it's just sad that situation are. But remember, we elect our leaders. Therefore, if you live in an area and everybody kind of gets to thinking the same way, you can get enough votes to elect a leader, elect somebody that thinks the way you do. And I think that's the way the LGBTQ, and now I add P to it, pedophiles, that's the way they've got into power. And it just looks like they're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. But thank God there's still some Dr. Youngbloods, and he's raised four wonderful sons, and till the Lord comes and gets us, we're going to speak our mind and try to keep the wheels on society. Thank you so much.
Tom, thank you so much for your observation. You're exactly right. When we see what is taking place on earth, it should cause each of us, especially the Christians listening today, should cause us to be looking at the scripture in Luke 21:28, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Greg, Tom touched on the basis that when the church is raptured out, as he didn't use that term, but when the church is raptured out, the Holy Spirit of God is not in society as it is today because it resides in the hearts and the lives of each believer. What will it be like, based on your study of the scripture, after the rapture of the church as far as evil and wickedness?
Well, in short terms, we've been on a fast track to perdition. Every leftist in America, every leftist in the world has been throwing coal to the engine. They've been hitting the accelerator. And I'll tell you, there's one restraining force, and that's the Holy Spirit in the lives, working through the lives of believers in America and around the world. The only restraining force against the absolute onslaught of evil happens to be the believer.
That's right.
Happens to be the believer. The Holy Spirit working through the believer provides some brake shoes for the train that's headed to perdition. The train will certainly not put on brakes absent believers that choose to be salt and light. And certainly there's no reverse gear. There's no turnaround gear. There's no lacking the influence of the Holy Spirit through the lives of believers. And so the fast track to perdition will be the only track, and it'll get there really, really, really fast. Of course, we see the 7 years of acceleration in the tribulation, in the great tribulation, and we see how things wrap up, because there's a seemingly unanimous position that you see in the scripture with all these forces at the end of the end of the end. And they all have come together to take on Israel, but they're going to take on Jesus Christ himself. And with the sword of his mouth, he'll put an end to all of it.
That's right.
Now, that's not something that's real popular, but that's something that's absolutely true. And every single day, the believer ought to recognize what's going on the front page of the paper and through your internet news and say, glory, hallelujah, praise God. Here he's coming again, and he's coming soon, because all of the world is embracing this evil. And I know we only have moments left, but I would say to every believer out there, understand you are a restraining force if you're doing your job. Matthew 5:13-14 says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is it thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So we've got an obligation. We have a duty as believers. And your duty as a believer today is to be salt and light. That means you have to engage.
Amen.
Engage in the classroom, engage in your church, and engage in the culture.
Greg, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
91.7 and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.